In college, I had a bit of a reputation for what the kids call dipping out. When vacation rolled around, I inevitably kind of just packed up and slunk away. So friends would call to say, "Hey, we're meeting up to have lunch and say bye before we all go." And I would reply, "Ooh, sorry, just crossing over into Massachusetts." Friends laughed it off and teased me good-naturedly about my dislike for goodbyes. I would shrug it off with, "Ooh, they're always so dramatic. No one is dying. We'll see each other soon. We don't need to embrace as if this is the last time we'll ever see each other." It felt hard for me to confront the fact that I didn't like the emotionality of it, the intensity of the feelings that came with saying goodbye. And no one really does. Saying goodbye is hard. It hurts to do, because it feels like an interruption, a blip on the radar, jolting us away from the continuation of the way things had been. And continuity is comforting. It produces anxiety to admit that things cannot stay the same. And yet we must do it all the time. "The only constant in life is change," says Octavia Butler. So we try out different forms of the goodbye, the see you laters, the see you soons, the take cares, until next time. But ultimately, we have to find a way to do it, to separate and extricate and begin again with absence. That small void that always exists after a goodbye, the nagging feeling that you have crossed a threshold and cannot get back to where you were before. When I worked as a hospital chaplain, I would go visit patients on my unit, in the ICU, in the recovery room, and as our time together would come to a close, I would impulsively offer, "I'll come by tomorrow to say hi and check in," knowing full well I wouldn't be by tomorrow. My schedule wouldn't allow it, or they would be transferred from my unit. The point was, I would rather lie to them than say goodbye, because the goodbye felt like a disappointment, a personal failing, that we had shared something, that I had been someone to them, and now I was choosing to leave. I felt guilt in saying a true goodbye, that somehow I might taint what we had shared by acknowledging its finitude, that by naming that it was over, I would sully the time we had together. Recently, that feeling of disappointment has been on the surface for me around this place. That feeling that as my final weeks wrap up, if I just slink out of here, quietly, under the radar, I'll save us the emotional intensity of acknowledging that what we had, what we still have, is something quite profound. I feel the sting of disappointment even more, knowing it might have been averted. It was tantalizing, wasn't it? The time when we got to dream together that we wouldn't have to say goodbye, that I might continue on here, continuing to grow together, pushing and pulling one another to new heights. Because I have grown so much during my months at UUCWC. Sometimes the pace of those weeks left me dizzy because it all moved so fast. I wanted to slow time down, to really relish those moments. Like when I heard everyone sing "Let It Be a Dance" with gusto. Or when the new members signed the book while Tika played the guitar or Greg sang. Or when I offered communion in the memorial garden on Easter Sunday with the birds full throttle behind me. I wanted it all to go slower because I was dreading this day, the last day I would speak to you as I am now. That after today, the inexorable crossing of the threshold begins, the first of the lasts, the last time I preach, the last time I lead Welcome Table Wednesday, the last meeting with the worship associates, and so on and so forth until the last of the lasts, the final goodbye. O'Donohue writes, to cross a threshold is to leave behind the husk and arrive at the grain. So this is the grain, my beloved congregants of UUCWC, you made me a minister here. You made me with your cookies and your hugs, with your teasing and your prodding, with the way you commented about my hair and asked after my fiance, with the way you let me lead you in discussions about grief and masculinity and in prayer and in worship, with the way you let me ask hard questions, poking at budget lines in the board meetings and during moments of pastoral care, when you let me comfort you and you shared your pain with me. I arrived here with a new robe, never worn before, my first. Now look at me. It's got a well-worn wax stain on it. And I just can't seem to remember to take it home to get it off. But maybe I don't want to. Maybe it's because it'll be there to remind me of all the times I lit the candles of fellowship and looked out at your faces and found you looking back at me as your minister. This robe has been worn at dedications, at weddings, at memorial services, and at internments. It's been worn on Martin Luther King Sunday and on John Murray Sunday. I kneeled in it to speak with your children, and I swayed in it as the choir sang. It arrived here clean and untested, and it leaves bearing the marks of the minister I have become. The minister I have become while having the great privilege of serving you. It is no small feat to be a teaching congregation. You too crossed a threshold when you signed on to do just that, to open your arms and your hearts and your theological minds to the possibility of a new minister, a newly hatched minister, just finding her voice, just finding her footing. But here, I found solid ground. You had prepared the road for me. Here, I found willingness to show up and join in. You signed up for my classes. You came to Welcome Table Wednesdays. You invited me to lunch. You invited me into your homes and into your lives. What can I ever do to repay your kindness? I think perhaps I will leave well. It will be a good goodbye. I think we will do it together, just as we have done all year long, with an awkward moment or two, but fumbling towards loving kindness, towards a better tomorrow and a better way of being with each other, a way that invites honesty. Because I have been so very honest with you this year. I have bared my soul in ways I never knew possible, and I made you rewrite the homily, and I made you answer the question of what it is that you believe, and I've been honest with you about how that made me feel. This is what makes a community so hard to leave. Just when I felt that I was woven into the fabric, that our parts had become one whole, June will arrive and unstitch us from each other. So we will hold hands as we cross the threshold, and there will be a vacancy in my life for a time. And there will be a vacancy here, in the pulpit, in the nursery back there, in the way you might feel about this place. There will be an absence. And just let it be. Let it be there. And remember that we crossed the threshold together, that we separated the husk from the grain, and in time, the whole wheat goodness of our journey will show itself in new ways, in other forms. Tell them about themselves, Kim said. So here is what I have observed about you all. This is a humble congregation. You do not fancy yourselves a big deal. But the dedication to one another, to working to live into the very best of our Unitarian Universalist ideals, this is a very big deal. You are resilient. You keep on keeping on because the work must be done and the community must be maintained. You are prepared for disappointments and you weather them well. People move away or move on or are asked to leave. You hold fast and you keep on coming here. You store away your reserves of money so that you might persevere in even the most dire of economic circumstances. The vote didn't go your way. The class was full. The worship service wasn't what you needed. You keep coming back because you know that consistency is key. Being in community is a habit that must be nurtured. You find comfort in returning here, in the continuity of church life. And yet, change is the only constant. Nothing gold can stay. My presence in the pulpit today is a harbinger of change, but it also is to remind you, to tell you, just how golden we made it. How each one of you, in seemingly small and insignificant ways, loved me to the threshold of this moment. I could not become a minister without a people to minister to. You were my people. You are my people. You will remain my people no matter what happens after we cross the threshold. This is a golden moment in time, in all of our lives, because of what we did collectively as a teaching congregation, bravely embracing your whole selves, our whole selves, warts and all, and inviting in the stranger who became the friend, who became the minister. Blessed be. Amen.